Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good evening. Welcome back to my show. I don't even know how I'm going to pronounce it, but you know, whatever. We're just rolling with it. Unrehearsed, unpracticed, just everything. I will be going back to reading my book, Displaced, for your enjoyment. I am doing a 15-minute show instead of a 30-minute because I feel like talking for 30 minutes has not been good for my voice. And also because I feel like for downloading and podcasts and all that stuff for like, for listening chunks. Listening to the book, it's easier to do 15 minutes than 30 minutes at once. So we're going to switch to 15 minutes and see how that goes. And yeah, we'll get started then. So last we left off, our heroes were kidnapped by aliens and they don't know why. Two of them are in the nice swanky place and they watch the third one get picked up and beaten by the aliens and they don't really know what happened to him. So now we're going to find out what happened to him, and let's get going. Displaced. Wiccan. Elsewhere, Wiccan Sanders scanned the open space of the marketplace. Shops were plentiful, each boasting a variety of goods for the patrons to choose from. He didn't know what he wanted, something to blow off steam, something to keep him sane. Games, books, movies, music, none of those caught his attention enough. "Hello, friend," an older man said from behind his counter. Wiccan faced him, raising an eyebrow. "Me?" "Yes, you, the lost-looking one." "I'm not lost," Wiccan snapped. "Or maybe I am." He tended to not be the type to harbor so much irritation. When did he become so edgy? Oh, yeah, when I got caught by the Ocklavons and dragged into all their drama. The man didn't seem all too insulted. In fact, he laughed. "Young man, I know what you mean to take away all of your pain. Look, if it's drugs or a prostitute or something, I'm going to pass. That's not my thing." "I'm a respectable salesman. I would not offer you such things," he said, reaching under his counter. He pulled a leather-bound journal. The pages were a little worn on the edges, but that only added to the appeal. "The preserver of thought and the protector of ideas. A good book can teach us a lot about ourselves." Wiccan took the book, flipping the pages in his fingers. "But it's blank, because you have a story to tell." Nodding, Wiccan held the book under his arm. "I don't have much I can trade for it right now. I just got here. Do you take credit? Or I can see if I can dig something up from my room. Work a day for you just so you have some time off? Just let me read it when you're done." "That's all you want? What if I never finish? What if it doesn't help and I give up?" The man smiled. "You'll finish. And when you do, you just come find me. What's your name?" "When you finish." The man handed him a package of black pens. Look inside, aggravated. "Fine. I'll be back." Unsure of what to do, he took the journal and went back to his room. He sprawled out onto his bed and got to work. Wiccan did not like having unfinished debts. Besides, he needed to clear his head. Chapter 16. Wiccan. Okay. I don't know what I was thinking when I chose to escape through the hallway instead of face my enemy. Was I afraid for my life? You bet. But it was more than that. I guess I would have rather been shot down trying to be free than taken hostage. In the end, my actions didn't seem to make much of a difference in my fate. The first thing I had to do was push Chevelle out of my mind. Was I disappointed she decided to not come with me? Yes. To understand why? Definitely. She was scared. We all were. I had to respect her decision to stay behind and face whatever was ahead of her. Maybe she ended up making the better choice. Maybe she didn't. If I thought too much about her while I was trying to get away, I know I would have caved and gone back to her. I love her. Leaving her behind was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. Somehow I thought if I could get free, that would be the best way to help her. The house behind the stores at the mall would make a great setting for a horror movie. The ceiling wasn't tiled over like the rest of the mall, so if you looked up, you saw all of the insulation and pipework. Fascinating stuff, let me tell you. The walls themselves had some of the rust from the pipes overflowing onto them. They had bizarre red tentacles splaying over the sheetrock. That's not the scariest part, though. No, that award goes to the trash chute. It's about the size of an elevator and would be a fantastic place to dump bodies. I certainly was always extra aware of where I placed myself anytime I went to throw away garbage from the store. My plan was to see if I could get to the stairwell. I figured that since the power was off, that meant the cargo elevator would be out of order. Stairs were always the best bet. From there, I could go down our garbage incinerator. I could get down to the garbage incinerator, which was close to a massive truck loading center. Easy, right? Wrong. Back hallways were a lot like a maze. It's hard to tell just where you're going with the lights on. It's even worse. My cell phone put up a good amount of glow for me to work with, but it didn't hit the higher points of the halls where the signs were. This, of course, meant I had to work off of memory. I'd been back there enough times to make a good idea of what I was doing, but the adrenaline of the situation was more or less blocking my better judgment and memory. If anyone had asked me my name, I probably wouldn't have been able to answer. I was that freaked out. My hands were shaking. My entire body was shaking and sweating. So badly, in fact, that my cell phone fell out of my hands and broke apart. The thing was always a piece of junk anyway. I got down onto my knees and frantically started to search for the pieces, the darkness enveloping me, suffocating me, and making my isolation complete. If the battery had only popped out of the device, I could fix it and get moving again. My fingers had just wrapped around the case of the phone when I heard solid footsteps coming my way from in front of me. Then I saw the glowing blue light and the ghostly thin face of its carrier. Get up and run, or stay and forfeit. Neither option sounded all too great. I'm not a quitter, but I'm also not a coward. If I thought I stood a chance in the fight against the guy, I would have plowed through him, stolen his light, and bailed. The thing is, I've never been a fighter. Sure, I come across as tough, but I like to use my brain over my brawn any day. Why? Because it'll keep me alive longer. Plus, the guy was pointing a gun at me. As much as I want to say I'm a noble hero willing to die for my cause and all that poetic stuff, I'm not. People who aren't afraid of death really have a lot of guts, let me tell you. They also believe strongly for whatever they're dying for. It wasn't my time. There's a lot of I still needed to do, and one of those things was protect Chevelle. I placed my hands up, staring into the eyes of the man in front of me. There was softness in his gaze, and that made me a little less afraid. But then I noticed how tall he was. Like, he had to be at least 8'5" and skinny. Lean muscle covered his body, and I'm pretty sure I was wider than he was all the same. It wasn't normal, natural, or human. He flicked his fingers upward, and I stood. Then he circled around me like some kind of bird of prey, nodding every so often. Cuffs appeared in his hands like magic. Yeah, those were for me. Chapter 17, Wiccan. I was shoved into a cell. Everything was happening fast. One minute I was being marched through the dark hallways of the mall, and the next I was... Heck if I knew where I was. The concrete floors of the mall were replaced with metal. Same with the sheetrock walls, come to think of it. Metal was everywhere. My cell was pretty typical. Bars were everywhere, a cot in the back corner along with a toilet and a sink. At first, I didn't have to share with anyone, but I was far from being alone. Across from me was another guy, dark-haired and with a more decent summer tan. He looked a little more rough around the edges than I was. Black eye, torn clothes, and the fierce gaze he gazed at me with. At the same time, I didn't quite get bad vibes from him either. There was something good about him. I settled on my cot and hugged my knees to my chest. Where was I now? And how did I get there? I just need to stop and think for a moment. You gonna cry? The guy across from me asked. No, I mumbled. I think you're the first. Shrugging, I closed my eyes so I could better block him out. I can't think when people are talking to me all the time. So, dude, what's your name? He asks. Apparently he failed at how to read body language. I thought about giving him the universal sign to screw off, but held back. Pissing people off wasn't a good idea when I didn't know where I was. Instead, I grumbled, Wiccan. Wicked! No, it's... I shook my hand. Yeah, whatever. I'm Justice. Cool. I didn't care much. I'm guessing you're new on the ship. Mm-hmm. Wait, did he just say ship? My eyes snapped open. Have you been here for a while? Justice nodded. Long enough. After a while, time starts to slip away. There's no clocks, no calendars. I just know it's been long enough. And where exactly is here? Dude, you're in outer freaking space. Chapter 18, Wiccan. The time I spent in the cell was only a few hours, I think. I know for sure it wasn't a full day because it didn't feel as if that much time had passed. I didn't need to use the bathroom when I was there. While a lot of people shouted out angry demands to be let go, I sat still and listened, absorbed, and processed. If what Justice had said was true and I was indeed on a spaceship, Then I needed to be smart with how I played my cards. There was a lot going on that I was still clueless about, and freaking out would not get me my answers any faster. I decided to try taking a nap on my cot, but that was easier said than done with all the yelling going on around me. Still, I could try because anything could happen, and rest might have been something hard to come by in the future. You just never know. If anything, closing my eyes was nice because it helped me block things out and stay inside of my own happy place. When I opened my eyes, I saw a man standing outside my cell. He had to be in his mid to late 30s because there was a beginning spread of gray in his otherwise dark hair. His dark eyes were worn with age as well as wisdom. A light, manly scruff outlined his face. I don't know how long he had been standing there because I hadn't noticed when he arrived. For one, my eyes were closed, and second of all, he was so quiet. All he did was stare at me with the most unusual smirk on his lips. I sat up in my cot and rubbed at my eyes to make sure just make myself a little less drowsy. Hi, I said. He nodded. Yeah, I'll definitely take this one. Good eye, Justice. Good eye. Justice sauntered up next to him, now free from his jail, apparently. He hasn't had a meltdown yet, so we'll have to watch for that. Still, but obviously the kid has brains. Obviously. The man's smirk widened. I'll have to talk to the boss, man, about getting something all set up here. They left me alone for a short while again before I was released. No handcuffs or restraints of any kind were put on me, but I could tell by the massive weapons in the new guy's hands that he meant business. And he still smirked. You're mine now. I was marched to a small group of other young men close to my age, and as a group, we left the prison. We went through a number of metal hallways. All of the clanking of our feet on the ground was starting to drive me bonkers. Finally, we entered into a large, bland concrete room. Justice and his boss took the time to line us all up carefully in a row. Then the strange man stood in front of us all. My name is Patriarch. I'm your new supervisor. If I say jump, you don't say anything. You just do it. I don't deal well with a lot of talking. Do you understand? He paused, and no one said anything. I'm pretty sure we were all hardly breathing at that point. When I give you an order, you need to tell me yes, sir, or no, sir, so I know you who's keeping up and who isn't. Got it? Yes, sir, the rest of us said, though none of us with any confidence. They were all mumbled or whispered or choked out. Some people, myself included, didn't even bother. I wasn't some kind of soldier or slave. Patriarch shook his head. You got to do better than that, because I'm kind of hard on hearing. This time, the yes, sir was significantly louder, but not with my help, that's for sure. Nodding his approval, Patriarch continued. All right, everyone, we'll have plenty of time to get acquainted later. Just remember to call me by my full name. Nobody gets to call me Pat unless you're on my good side, and that's a position that needs to be earned. Eventually, you'll all have your own new names as well. It helps with the bonding experience. We're all in this together. Excuse me while I gag at how horribly cheesy that was. Just more and more descriptions that people substitute for an identity. That was my first sign I was in a bad situation. You only get stripped of who you are if people wanted to humanize you, or in my case, if aliens wanted to dehumanize me. Though at that time, I was having a hard time believing that I was on a spaceship to begin with. Heck, I still didn't know what was going on, and apparently Patriarch didn't feel much like getting into those details right off the bat. Okay, boys, remember your unit number, because if you get lost, you're going to regret it. The head honchos will be a lot more mean about making sure you remember it than I will. Patriarch barked out. Justice nudged me in the side a little, smiling. Lucky you. You're with the group with the rest. You're in the best group down here. Huh? I asked. Patriarch glared at me. The next thing you need to remember is to not speak unless you're spoken to. Sorry, sir. I was, I muttered. He stalked over, standing over me, the intensity in his gaze never ceasing. Excuse me? What was that? I said I was, you know, spoken to. I tilted my head at Justice. For a moment, there was a slight upward twitch to Patriarch's lips before he went back to being cold and rough. Witty people like you are always the most fun to break. How about I make myself more clear, boy? You don't speak unless I tell you to. Is that clear? Yes, sir. All right, and we're going to stop there. It's the middle of the chapter, which I hate to do, but I'm not going to finish it. So you all have a good night, and we'll do this again soon.